Could you please turn to Proverbs chapter 6? Proverbs chapter 6, that's where we'll be this evening. We're looking at God's list of seven things that he hates that we find here in Proverbs chapter 6. And last time we saw how the first on the list was a proud look. I guess if we were making a list of what we think God hates, we'd probably put a few things ahead of that. But that's what God sees as first on his list. He made the list, and proud look was the first one. And the second one on the list is a lying tongue. And that's what we'll be looking at this evening. So let's have a look at the list again. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now we see here that when in relation to lying, there are really two things that God hates. He hates a lying tongue, but then he also says in verse 9, he hates a false witness that speaks lies. Now very similar, but if you were to look at the difference, I would say that a lying tongue is just lying in general, and then a false witness that speaketh lies is someone who tells lies about others. Now, instead of breaking them up and looking at them both separately, we're just going to put them together this evening and consider lying, regardless if it's just lying in general, in telling a lie, or if it's telling a lie about someone. We see here that God hates both. Question is that a little bit too loud? Because it sounds too loud up here. No? A little bit loud? Can you just put it down a little bit? Thank you. I think. Anyway, why do people lie? There's plenty of reasons why we lie. We all lie at times. Some lie more than others, but people lie for various reasons. Some people lie to get themselves out of trouble. You know, did you throw that ball that smashed the window? Wasn't me. And you could see it from an early age with children. Did you do da-da-da-da-da? No. And they're happy to lie to get themselves out of trouble. People lie for that reason. People lie to get away with something that they want to do that's wrong. You know, they say that they may be going to visit somebody, but really they're going somewhere else, that they're not going to want to tell their parents or tell their friends because they know what they're doing is wrong. And so they'll tell a lie to cover up something they're doing wrong. Some lie to make themselves sound better. The big stories or the exaggeration, where you know it wasn't as big as what you're making it out to be, but you want to make yourself sound better, so you lie. Or some people just make up lies, make up stories that make themselves sound good. Some lie to get themselves out of doing something that they don't want to do. I'm sick, so I can't come, when they're not really sick. I know of working with youth. I know that some have, not these ones of course, but in the past, their parents would get their children to ring up and say that their parents are sick for one reason or another. Such and such, mum's feeling sick so she can't come today. They get their children to lie for them, and just so they can get out of doing something they don't really want to do. People lie for that reason. Some people lie to save embarrassment. They would rather tell a lie than tell the truth and have people laugh at them. And that could be for lots of things. No, I didn't do that. Or whatever, that something people may find embarrassing, so they would like to tell a lie to cover that up. Or just to get someone in trouble. They don't like someone, so they'll tell a lie about them. And the fact is, if you wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty and the finer details of life, there would be an endless amount of reasons why people lie. Some people lie better than others, and there's no doubt about it. Some are able to lie so well, and they lie so often, that they even convince themselves that they're telling the truth. They're extremely convincing. And for someone like myself who likes to believe everybody, I'm a sucker generally. You know, people say something and you get some people go, oh, I don't know if I really believe it. But I think, oh, it sounds good to me. And I'm very easy to convince, unfortunately. You can call me gullible, but I'm just trusting. That's what I like to call it. But people are very good at it, or some are. One thing you can be sure of is if you catch somebody lying, you find it very hard to trust them again. If you lie to someone and they catch you out, don't be surprised if they find it hard to believe you again. It may be the only lie you've ever told in all your life, but if you told it to that person and they found out that you've lied to them, they're going to struggle to believe you. When I was a bachelor, I shared a house with three other fellows, and we would split all the bills four ways. And the phone bill always seemed to be really high. And they were the days when you didn't get a list of every phone call that was made and, you know, where it was made to and all those sort of things. You just got this phone bill, and sometimes it seemed bigger than others. And ours always seemed to be really high, and we never realized why. There was one chap there, and he said, look, I'm sick of these high phone bills. I want nothing to do with it again. I'm not paying it. I just won't use the phone. So the deal was, he's not allowed to make any phone calls. He's not allowed to have any enjoyment with the phone. And if so, we will just split it three ways and he can be let off. And he was happy with that. Then I got home from Bible college a bit early one afternoon. So I went and laid in my bed. And this guy came home. And within about 5 minutes, sure enough, he was on the phone and speaking in Spanish. I later found out he was ringing Spain. Argentina. And ringing some relatives overseas. And he was on the phone for about half an hour. And then he hung up and off he went somewhere. He didn't even realize I was home. That evening, I told the other blokes, and we were sitting around. I said, "So, have you used the phone yet?" No. Are you sure? No, I have. He assured me he hadn't even touched the phone, let alone rang on the phone. I said, "Look, if you're lying, I'd rather you just tell me now, rather than being me catching you out." He says, "Look, I promise you, I haven't used the phone at all." And he died nearly 1,000 deaths when I told him I was lying on the bed that afternoon. And I heard him ringing someone in talking in Spanish. And later found out that's why the phone bill had been so high. He'd been ringing relatives overseas all the time. And he just plainly lied to me. And I must admit, I found it hard to believe anything he told me after that. Even to this day, that was 100 years ago, feels like. If he told me something, I still would find it hard to believe him. You know, it says in Proverbs, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And you offend a brother or sister by lying to them, it's going to be very difficult to win them over again. And it's not so much that they don't want to trust you, but there will always be that nagging thought, are they lying this time to me? It's very hard to escape. And if we had a list of the seven hates that we have in life, I'm sure that one of them would be being lied to. None of us like being lied to. But have you ever wondered why God hates lying? It's not like he gets deceived. It's not like God says, man, I believed him and he was lying to me. You know? You can be the best liar in the world, but you're not going to deceive God because he knows all things. So why does God hate lying so much? Why does he hate lying lips? Well, I can only suspect it's because of the pain that it causes his creation. That's the only reason why he hates it. He hates the pain that it causes those he loves. He loves the world, and he particularly loves his children in the world, and he hates how lies hurt so many of those he loves. That's the reason. God sees the destruction that it causes. And because of that, I thought what it would be good to do this evening is look at some of the pain that lies cause people. The pain that lies cause people and the reasons why God must hate it so much. And so I got a few here that we'll look at. And if I got too many, it's getting too late, we'll just stop when it's time. But let's think of some reasons. First thing is, lies destroy the good things God has given us. Have you ever realized that lies can destroy so many of the good things that God has given you? It started at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden when Eve met Satan. At that time, they were in the midst of the Garden of Eden, enjoying all the blessings that God had bestowed upon them. And then Eve meets Satan, who tells her a lie that changes everything. Not just changes everything, but ruins everything, ruins all the good things that God had given them. See, we read in Genesis 3, verse 4, that the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." That's a lie. That was a lie. "Ye shall not surely die." God said, "You eat of this, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will die." That was the truth. Satan says, "Ye shall not surely die." That was a lie. And I wonder what Eve would have done if Satan had told her the truth. If he said to her, "You know, if you eat of that tree, it's going to make you feel dirty like you've never felt before. You eat of the fruit of this tree and you're going to feel shame and guilt for the first time and you're going to hate it. And you know that sweet fellowship that you have with God every day? It's going to be destroyed so much that you're going to fear Him when He comes, when you come into His presence. And you know, you eat that fruit and you're going to feel pain and sadness. Your sins are going to come into the world. Your own son is going to kill your other son. You're going to feel pain like you've never felt before. And by the way, you will die." I wonder what she would have done then if he had told her the truth. But he didn't say any of that. He said, "You won't die." And he went on to say how it'll even make your life better. No wonder Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. He is the master of lies. You don't get a better liar than Satan. He's the ultimate deceiver. Yet despite this, and even though when you read the Word of God, you see it proved over and over and over again, it's just not Eve who listens to Satan and his lies, but many in the world, most in the world, believe Satan instead of God, even believers themselves. You ever wondered what it would be like if Satan told you the result of your sin, told you the truth when you were being tempted? You know, your marriage will be destroyed if you do that. Or your body is going to be destroyed if you live like this. Or, you know, you're going to feel guilt and shame like you've never felt it before, and you're going to be miserable. You know, if Satan actually told us the truth when we were tempted, I wonder if we would still sin. You know, I'd like to jump up and say, well, I don't think I would. But when you stop and think of it, the God of all truth, the one that never lies, has already told us the consequences of sin. He's already told us what will happen when we sin and disobey Him in various ways. Yet we don't want to believe Him, do we? And so why would we believe Satan? We wouldn't know if he's lying to us or not. You see, we're so sinful, we don't even believe the truth. We prefer to believe a lie. But lies destroy the good things God's given us. And that's why He hates it when husbands lie to their wives or the wife lies to their husband. He hates it when children lie to their parents. He hates it when we lie to one another, regardless of if we're just trying to cover up embarrassment or we're trying to make ourselves look good or we're trying to get ourselves out of trouble. God hates it. You want to destroy what's good in your life? Well, then start lying to those people around you. No wonder God hates it. He hates lying because it destroys the good things he's given us. That's one reason. You know, lies also break the heart of parents. You know, there's probably many of examples that we could find in the Word of God. But we're told of Jacob and his 12 sons and how the sons were jealous of Joseph. So much so that they wanted to kill him, decided not to, so they sold him to the Midianites. But they knew they had to go back to Dad, and what were they going to tell him? He's not going to be happy if they said, well, actually, we can't stand Joseph, Dad, and we think we know he's your favorite, so we just sold him. They're not going to say that. If you turn over to Genesis 37, this is what we read they did do. Genesis 37. It says in verse 31, and they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goat and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Now, they may not have lied with their lips. Maybe they were trying to manipulate it so they didn't say a lie, but we know that they deceived their father by doing this, dipping the coat that he knew was Joseph's in blood, so he would assume that he would have been killed. They knew the truth, and they didn't tell them, and they broke Jacob's heart. Look at the response, verse 34. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. You know, we think of how terrible it was for Joseph. But have you ever stopped to think of how terrible this deception and this lie would have been for Jacob, the father? He spent years mourning his son because he was fed a lie from his other sons. That would have broken his heart. I wonder what God was thinking when he saw that his children deceived their father as well. God hated their deceit. God said to children, honor your parents. You're not honoring your parents when you deceive them and you lie to them. And when he saw the deceit of these grown-up men to their father, he would have hated the sorrow that it brought their father. And he hates the sorrow that children bring their parents as well. You know, it's hard when your children lie to you. And it's particularly when you know they're lying. I said I'm a little bit gullible in that way. You know, when our children were growing up, they were like every other normal children. They unfortunately lied to us for various reasons. And they would say something and they had me fooled. Linda has this unique ability of being able to know when they're lying. She can tell the difference in their face. And so they say, no, I didn't do it. And, oh, okay. And they're lying. You can tell they're lying. And I'm thinking, how? You know, and I'm in this debate. I don't want to smack them if they aren't lying. But she had this unique ability. We had a fellow, I remember years ago, we were looking after a cousin. And he had got the texters out when he shouldn't have. And he was playing around with them. And I remember Mum saying, she said, did you get those texters out? And he goes, no, I didn't. And Mum said, you're lying. It's written all over your face. And he said, no, that's just the texters. It's written all over your face. So, I don't know. I'm not lying. So, anyway, some people can tell it, but it breaks your heart. You know, God says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. You know, the father or the mother of a fool has no joy. When they see someone lying, it breaks their heart. No wonder God hates lying. Also, we know lies condemn the innocent. God says, a false witness that speaketh lies. He hates that because it condemns the innocent. You know, we know that when Joseph was sold into slavery, despite this injustice, he still chose to honour the Lord. And because of that, he was honoured by the Lord by Potiphar, who was his master. And we know that he also honoured Potiphar despite the allurement of his wife. Yet a liar condemned this innocent man to prison. It says in, if you're there in Genesis 39, verse 17, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong, yet Potiphar's wife told a lie, and it condemned an innocent man to prison. Innocent people suffer when people lie. And we often think of Joseph. How did he feel when this lie was spoken about him? I dare say terrible. Have we ever thought how God felt when he saw and heard the lie spoken? God hated what he saw. He hated the injustice that this false witness brought as well. And that has happened to many people, but I don't think it can happen any worse than the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, and we're told, it says in Matthew 14, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain that bear false witness against him. People lied about the Lord Jesus, made up stories, and this led to an innocent man being nailed to a cross. Imagine the frustration that Jesus felt when he heard those lies spoken about him. But what I want us to do is that same frustration he felt there being said about him, he feels when he sees false witnesses or people lying about anybody. As he says that he hates the liar, the one who bears false witness. He said this at the very beginning when he gave the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Lies condemn the innocent. No wonder God hates it. You know, lies also hurt the innocent. When you tell a lie, it's like when you drop a rock into the water, there's this ripple effect. And the ripples are biggest at the beginning and then it sort of dies down as it goes out. And when you tell a lie, it affects those closest to you the worst, and then it has that ripple effect and it can affect even people further afield. But it hurts the innocent. You know, I don't think there's a worse, well, there probably is worse ones, but one in the Word of God where we discover how David was fleeing for his life from King Saul. And he fled without anything for his life, and he went to a place called Nob. And it appears that David thought he could tell a lie just to keep a secret, and it wouldn't hurt anyone. Little did he know that it would bring about great sadness to so many people. We're told that he went to this little town called Nob, and the priest there met him, and the priest was surprised that the general of the army was there by himself. And so he said, why are you here by yourself? Where's your soldiers and everything else? And David, I suspect, seemed to tell what he thought was a harmless lie. Let me read. It says, and David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Basically, David said, I'm on a secret mission for the king. And he told me to go swiftly so I didn't have time to get a horse or a weapon or anything or get food. So would you be able to help me out while I'm on this secret mission for the king? Now that was a lie. And the priest, thinking he's helping the king, runs off and gets David food. Then he runs off and gets David a sword. And then David rides off. What's the problem with a little lie like that? Well, we're told that there was one of the servants of King Saul, Doeg, watching from a distance. He didn't hear what David told him. He didn't hear the lie. All he saw was them talking, and then the priest running off, getting some food, giving it to David, running off, getting a sword, giving him that, and then David riding off. Now, not long after this, the king had all his servants around. He was furious because he was wanting to know why he couldn't catch David and who was helping David. And Doeg put up his hand and said, "Well, I saw Ahimelech, the priest down at Nob. He was helping David. He gave him some food and gave him a sword." And out of the fury that the king had for him, we read this: "And the city of the priest smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and suckling, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword." Out of fury, King Saul commanded his soldiers to go and kill all the priests. There was about 60 of them. Then they killed all the other men of the town, all the women, all the children, all the babies. Everyone was slain. That little lie that David told to keep the secret that he was on the run hurt a lot of innocent people. I wonder if he would have said the same thing if he knew what the outcome would have been. But that's what lies do. They hurt innocent people. You know, you tell a lie to someone, they believe you, and then they go and do what you said was okay when it isn't really, and they get hurt. Or they believe what you say, they think it's the truth, they repeat it, and then all of a sudden they're spreading a lie. God hates lies, because it hurts the innocent. One more. Let's look at just one more. And that is, God hates lies because it causes people to disobey Him. I don't want to speak out of line and say that God has one type of lie that He hates more than others. But if He does, this would be it. When people say that something is good when it isn't really, or say that God doesn't mind you doing something when God does really mind. You know, we're told in Isaiah 5 verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." He says, "Woe," that is, my condemnation is going to be upon those who say that something is fine when it's really evil. And vice versa. God hates that. You know, the prophets of old, we won't look up the verses that I got here, but in the days of Jeremiah, they were living in a wicked, evil state, and God was going and telling Jeremiah, "Go and tell them they need to repent, otherwise I'm going to send a nation to come and judge them for their sin." Now that sounds all good. But the problem was there were false prophets there as well. And they were going around saying, "God doesn't mind the way you're living. It's all right. No one's going to come and attack us. You can continue to live as you want." Now, who are they going to believe? They're going to believe who they want to believe. You know, the easier thing, so they can continue to live how they want. And God said through Jeremiah, "I'm going to punish the people because of their sin," but he singles out the prophets and he says, "But those prophets that spoke lies, you're going to cop all these things upon you." He had a special punishment for those prophets that spoke evil. God doesn't take it very lightly, those who speak lies and cause people to sin against Him. You know, there are lots of people that do that today. There are people that say that there are immoral practices that are quite all right for people to enjoy. And God doesn't mind when God says it's an abomination in His eyes. People say that there's devilish music that's fine. There's devilish places you can go that are fine. There's all these things that you can be doing as a Christian and there's nothing wrong with it. They preach this. And I tell you what, God's judgment is going to be upon those people. There are people who teach that there's lots of ways to heaven. Woe to those people. There are people that teach that everybody gets to go to heaven. Woe to those people. There are people that teach there is no heaven. Woe to those people too. I feel sorry for those teachers in those science classes who will try and convince children there's no God and there's no heaven. There is going to be a judgment upon those people. We've been warned. There will be many false prophets arise and shall deceive many. Let no man deceive you with vain words. But there were false prophets also among the people. And the list goes on of how there will be deceivers. And that's why we're instructed, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour. And in a world that is filled with lies and liars, it is so good to have the truth. People go, what can I believe? What is the truth? This book is the truth because it is the Word of God. And it says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. You want to know what's true in this world? Well, then you go to this book, the book of God, who is the God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to be Christ-like, you know, one of the easiest ways to be Christ-like in a world full of liars and lies is simply to tell the truth. That will make you stand out like a sore thumb, just speaking the truth. And that's what God delights in. He delights in the lips of those who speak the truth, but not in the liars. So, how's your tongue? Is it a lying tongue or a tongue that speaks the truth? We need to guard our tongue from speaking deceit and lies. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can believe you, that, Lord, every word is pure and true. Lord, I pray that our words would be the same, and that, Father, there would be no deceit in our mouths and with our tongues. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.